إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، as I said, the night that we are in, which is the night to the middle of Sha'ban, the night of the middle of Sha'ban, that is, tomorrow is the middle of Sha'ban, or the 15th of Sha'ban. This night is a blessed night, as was taught in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إن الله يطلع على عباده ليلة النصف من شعبان. Allah looks down at His people, at His ibad, at His creatures and servants, on the night of the middle of شعبان. فيغفر لكل عباده, and then He forgives all of them. إلا لمشرك أو مشاحن, except for one who is a mushrik, or that is one who takes partners with Allah, or a mushahin, or for one who has hatred and hostility towards other Muslims. So these are the two people that are not forgiven on this night. Everybody else is forgiven. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim, as I remember, and this is the only authentic hadith concerning the night of the middle of Sha'ban in particular. There are some other ahadith which are baseless, which are unauthentic concerning it. One of them says that when it is the night of the middle of Sha'ban, then قوموا ليلها, which means stand up in prayer in that night, and صوموا نهارها, and fast on the following day. And this hadith, as I said, is baseless. It doesn't have any basis in the Sunnah. However, some people think that this is true and authentic, and they go by it. So they pray. They pray all night a specific prayer on the night of the middle of Sha'ban, and they fast on the following day specifically because it is the middle of Sha'ban. Now we know that, as it happened this year, the middle of Sha'ban is on a Monday, and it is Sunnah to fast on Monday. It is Sunnah to fast on Monday. It is mustahab. It is preferable in the Shara to fast on Monday. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the doors of heavens open on Monday and Thursday, and that the deeds are raised on these days. So whoever wants his deeds to be raised while he's fasting, then let him do. And he said that this is a day that I was born on, which is Monday. So I like my deeds to be raised while I'm fasting on this day. So it is Sunnah to fast on Monday, because it is Monday of the week. And it is sunnah to fast on the 15th of the Hijri month. On every 15th, the Prophet ﷺ recommended for people to fast on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, which are the middle days of each month. So tomorrow happens to be, you know, a day where it is good to fast for two reasons so far, which is because it is a Monday and because it is the 15th of the month. Also, it was the practice of the Prophet ﷺ to fast in Sha'ban more than any other month, except Ramadan. He used to fast so much that people would think that he doesn't eat at all or doesn't break his fast at all during this month. So, if we want to follow him in this practice, then it is recommended to fast as much as one can in the whole month of Sha'ban. Now, this is as far as we can learn of this sunnah, or go with the sunnah of why we can fast tomorrow. But there are some very important rules in Shara and Islam that we have to be very aware of if we want to worship Allah with basira, with knowledge, as Allah described Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who follow him. He said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, which means, say, O Muhammad, this is my way. I call to Allah on basira, on clear sight, I and those who follow me. So the description of Muhammad ﷺ and his followers is that they worship Allah with knowledge, with sight, with clear sight, with basira, and not with blindness, with amah, with uncertainty, with vagueness about what they are doing. This is not a description of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This would be a description of the non-believers who used to say, Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummah wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. We have found our parents doing certain things and we are certainly going to follow their footsteps. Allah Azza wa Jalla told that this is how they used to argue with the messengers. They always say, this has been our way, this has been the way in our custom, this has been the way in of our fathers, so we are going to be the same. They are determined to be the same as their fathers. This is not a description of the Muslims. This is a description of the non-Muslims, of the deviant people. For us, for the Ummah of Islam, for the followers of the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to worship Allah with basira, with knowledge and understanding. And this is one of the worships that come around the year, which is or one of the occasions which is the middle of this blessed night, which falls in the middle of the month of Sha'ban. This night, the fasting, we talked about fasting. Fasting tomorrow, for the sake of its being the night of the middle of Sha'ban, is something which doesn't have a basis in Islam. If somebody fasts because it is his habit to fast on every Monday, or because it is his habit to fast the middle 3 days of the month, or because it is his habit to fast frequently in Sha'ban, and this happens to be one of the frequent days that he is trying to fast, then this is good. Then he's doing the sunnah. He's going by the sunnah, he's worshipping Allah with basira, because he is basing his practice on a knowledge of the shara, of the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, if somebody does it for the specific reason that it is the middle day of Sha'ban, then he is wrong by doing that, because, as I said, the only thing in Islam which teaches us, which tells about doing this fasting on the middle of Sha'ban, is a baseless hadith, is a weak hadith which doesn't have a basis. So we cannot go by it. We cannot support our deen on weak foundation. It has to be on authentic, true foundation. This is for fasting. As for praying at night, Praying at night, of course, is a very good sunnah. To pray at night, it is one of the best things, one of the best prayer to do after the obligatory prayer. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أفضل الصلاة بعد المكتوبة قيام الليل. أو قيام الليل هو أفضل الصلاة بعد المكتوبة. Which means to the night prayer, to stand up in prayer at night, it is the best prayer after the required prayers. So also a person who practices praying at night, then he is indeed, you know, in a very blessed position, inshallah, before Allah Azza wa Jalla, who does it sincerely, of course, like any other worship that we are supposed to do sincerely. He is doing a very good practice or worship, which comes in terms of prayers right next to the obligatory prayers in importance. However, if a person specifies certain days by Qiyam, thinking that these days have an added virtue which does not appear in other days, then this is wrong. Like if somebody says, for example, I want to fast every to pray at night every Thursday night because I think that this is good, then he is wrong by that. He cannot specify that without an evidence, a dalil from the Shara, from the Quran and Sunnah. And you know that there is no dalil. The only dalil, of course, is opposite to that. The only dalil says that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited people to specify Friday by fasting or by praying its night, which is Thursday night, the night of Friday. He prohibited people from doing specifically the fasting for the standing at night in prayer for the day of Friday. So there is no evidence to worship Allah on that particular night in prayer. Or if somebody thinks, for example, that Monday, because Monday is the day in which the Prophet ﷺ was born, therefore maybe if we stand up in prayer on Sunday night, the night of Monday, then maybe this is also something good. If somebody believes this and does it, then he's wrong also, because again there is no evidence that there is an additional reward by Qiyam on the night of Monday. And we know that the only thing that the Prophet ﷺ did in regards to the day that he was born was to fast on that day. But if the person's habit, as I said earlier, and custom is to make Qiyam most of the nights. He has the azm, the power of will to make Qiyam every night or most of the nights. Sometimes he misses some nights, but usually he doesn't. And then he wakes up on this night or on the night of Friday or on the night of Monday, and he prays without intending that I am getting up to pray Qiyam for this specific reason, that this is this such and such day which I think is more blessed than other days in doing these deeds in it. Then that's perfectly okay if he has this intention. Okay. Now this is, you know, we had a discussion of the bid'ah on Friday, and there was some detailed discussion around that, and the worship. I think I made a reference to what is called al-bid'ah al-idafiyyah, which this is a term in usul al-fiqh, which refers to a bid'ah which is idafiyyah, means it is additional bid'ah or extension bid'ah, which means it is a bid'ah in the deen, it is a bid'ah innovation in worship which is based on something which is correct in itself. So this is not like the person who was standing in the sun to worship Allah. That person was doing something which doesn't have any basis in Islam. There's no worship where you stand in the sun to worship Allah. That's not a worship. But there is worship which involves fasting. Fasting is a worship, and qiyam is a worship. So this in itself is a good deed. But to do it in a way different from the way that the Prophet ﷺ did it, then this is called bid'ah idafiyah. And to do it with the intention, as we explained when we talked about the definition of the bid'ah, we said it is it is a matter or a practice in the deen that a person does it, يُتُضَاهِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, which means it imitates something which is revealed from Allah. I think I missed this part of the definition last time. It is something which يُضَاهِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ, which imitates the legislative matters. That is something that a person thinks or assumes that this is like a revelation from Allah, or that this is equal to the revelation and its usefulness. So تُضَاهِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ يُقْصَدُ بِهَا, a person intends by it التَّقَرُّبْ أَوْ زِيَدَ التَّقَرُّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, to come to approach Allah or to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a person does any practice with such a definition applying to him, then he's committing a bid'ah. And as you see, this applies to bid'ah al-idafiyah, which means an act that a person does which in itself is a good ibadah, but the way that it is practiced is contrary or different to what from what has been taught in the sunnah. We gave some examples last time about bid'ah al-idafiyah, and that's when I mentioned that this is bid'ah al-idafiyah. What were the examples? There were the three people who came to the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and asked them about his worship. And what were the things that they wanted to do, the worships that they wanted to do other than what the Prophet ﷺ did? What were they?
One of the
never marry.
Pray the whole
night. Fast every day. Now, which of these three is considered bid'ah idafiyah? Fast every day.
Pray.
Not to sleep. Pray all night. How about not to marry?
No.
It's not a bid'ah idafiyah. It is something which is not from Islam, because Islam does not teach us about rahbaniyah, to be like monks, not to get married. So these people, three people, two of them did something which, you know, to the simple-minded Muslim, he would say, what's wrong with that? A person wants to fast every day. Or what is wrong with praying all night? That's fine. That's even better than praying half the night, right? Or a third of the night. But the Prophet ﷺ did not accept it from them. And he said, you have to be like me. If you want to be of my ummah, of my followers, you have to be like me. I pray part of the night, I sleep the other part of the night, I fast some days, I break my fast other days. So this is for the additional or idafi bid'ah, the extra bid'ah, which is in itself is a correct worship, but the way that the people practice it, the conditions that they set for it, make it not in agreement with the sunnah. And of course, the third case is the bid'ah, which is obviously a bid'ah, that of to be a monk, or that of standing in the sun to worship Allah, or that of deciding not to speak at all and thinking that by this a person would be coming closer to Allah. So you say, I'm fasting from speaking for 2 days, for example, or 3 days, and I hope that Allah will accept this worship from me. This is not a worship, this is a bid'ah, this is not acceptable. Okay? Because it doesn't have a basis at all from the Shara. The other, now, bid'ah al-idafiyah is harder to distinguish, as I said, for most people. For the simple Muslims, it is very hard. You tell them this is a bid'ah, they say, how could it be? I mean, this person is worshipping Allah. He's doing something good, so you should encourage him instead of trying to stop him. But any worship has to be not only not only as ordained, I mean one of the ordained ibadat, but it has also to be according to the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we go back to the hadith, as-salamu wa rahmatullah, to the hadith about the night of the middle of Sha'ban, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one, it is the night of the the authentic one, when he says, on the night of the middle of Sha'ban, Allah looks down on His ibad, on His creatures, and then He forgives all of them, except mushrik, a mushrik, or a mushahid. So Allah will forgive the sins of people on this night, except two people. One of them is a mushrik. A mushrik is one who is taking partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. That is not forgiven. So that removes everybody except Muslims. And then mushahin. Mushahin is someone who has hatred with others. And that limits the forgiveness to only Muslims with clear hearts toward their brothers. So these people will be forgiven on that day, or on that night. So if somebody really seeks the forgiveness, one should see and look what hatred I have towards some of my brothers, Muslim brothers, and how can I remove this? How can I reduce this? Solve it by going to them, for example, and apologizing to them, or doing whatever it takes to remove the shahna, the hatred between us. Then inshallah he will be forgiven on this night. That's all what is needed really in this night, because the hadith does not say Allah will forgive those who are praying an extra prayer on this night, or who are fasting an extra fasting on the following day. It doesn't talk about this. Rather we can see from this hadith that people who do something which is not in the sunnah on this night, which is a bid'ah in itself, then they are in danger that they will not be forgiven on this night. Why is that? How would I include this from the hadith?
Does it mention any other prayer?
No. يقول ابن تيمية أنه من ابتدع فقد تأله. هذا يرجع إلى مفهوم
No, Jazakallah khairan. What do you want to say, the same?
When you invent something that means you are Polish, the end of the Prophet, and maybe it comes under partially under the Shahna, that Allah is
made. Very good. Very good. So, in fact, both answers are correct, that the person who invents a bid'ah, or who starts a bid'ah, then he is a person who recognizes himself. We know that, I mean, we have discussed this last on Friday, that the legislation for worships is only the right of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. No one else has the right to legislate, to tell us how to worship Him. It is His only right. Anyone who thinks that he can devise a worship to come closer to Allah by that, then he is making himself partner with Allah Azza wa Jal in something which is his only right. So this in itself is a form of shirk for the one who starts a bid'ah. So the mubtadi' is in fact mushrik in a sense. But many of the people commit the bid'ah unknowingly, and they are not the ones who started the bid'ah, but they are committing it, they are doing it following some other people who whom they think know, and probably some custom, and therefore they just do the same. So in that case we probably cannot apply the same to them, because they are not the starters of a bid'ah, they are not the initiators of the bid'ah. However, every Muslim is supposed to be ala bayina, as we said, ala basira, on a sight, clear sight of what he's doing. Every Muslim is supposed to worship Allah with knowledge, not with ignorance and blindness. And they are supposed to seek for themselves what they are and make sure what they are doing is correct. Otherwise, they are in danger. Now, if they are doing something which is a bid'ah, which opposes the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there is a description for them. Allah describes such people in very severe terms of the Quran, like saying, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِّهِ مَتَوَلَّى. Whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance has been clarified to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, then we will give him what he deserves, and so on. This we talked about also last time. So a person who commits the bid'ah is actually opposing the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one who opposes the messenger, what do you expect that the messenger's feeling will be about him? The person whom the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the shara' which is complete. He said, here, this is the complete deal I'm giving to you. And somebody comes and says, okay, I want to omit this part of what you gave me, and I want to put instead of it this part which I think is better. What do you think? This is what means, you know, when somebody does a bid'ah. What do you expect the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have? What kind of feeling will have towards him? A feeling of pleasure or hatred? Hatred for sure. For sure. And I'll tell why. I'll give the hadith inshallah. So this person is actually bringing a shahna, a hatred between him and who? And the best of human beings and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the worst possible shahna that a person can do. So how could a person expect forgiveness on this night when he is doing shahna with whom? With the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this night. The evidence for what I just said is, among other things, is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment there will be people who will be stopped from, or not allowed, prevented from drinking from the pond or the pool of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pool which Allah azza wa jal gives to him to be like in charge of it, and he would allow whoever he wants to drink from it. But there will be people that he thinks they are of his followers, they are of his ummah, they are of his company. So they come to drink, but they will yuzadun, which means they are pushed away. They are not allowed to approach this pool. So he will say, Ashabi, Ashabi. He will say, these are my company. I want them to drink. And he will be told, La tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. You do not know what kind of innovation they have done after you, in the deen that is. And when the Prophet ﷺ hears this, what does he say? Suhqan suhqa. Which means, may they be removed very far, very deep, those who have changed after me, who have changed the deen after me. So the Prophet ﷺ, once he knows what they did, he immediately hates them and he doesn't want them to approach him anymore. So if we want the pleasure of the Prophet ﷺ and his company on the day of judgment, then we want to make sure that we please him in our actions, that with our actions, that we do our worships according to his teachings, according to his sunnah. Otherwise, we'll be mubtada'een, as you heard, and we'll be turned away from his pool. So as I said, if a person wants to be forgiven on this night, then he needs to make sure that first, he is not a mushrik, and that he is not a mushahin. And the worst of shahna is to have shahna with the messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this, you know, this happens to be a very good example. The night of the middle of Sha'ban happens to be a very good example regarding or about the subject of bid'ah that we started discussing on Friday, because it is very hard for people to distinguish, you know, when the bid'ah, as I said, gets into matters which are regular ibadat, but they are fashioned in slightly in a different way, then people, it becomes very hard for people to distinguish whether this is a bid'ah or something good to do. And therefore, as I said, it is a good example to bring to clarify this, the matter of bid'ah, to people. Now I'd like to mention some of the what the ulama say about bid'ah in general. But first, I'd like to point out something interesting, which is that it has been the practice in many countries, in many places, that when there comes the discussion of bid'ah and of sunnah, then they immediately say, you must be a Wahhabi. The person who discusses this must be a Wahhabi. And if you ask them, what do you mean by Wahhabi? What's the definition of Wahhabi according to you? They don't have a definition, except that he's a person who seems to think differently from them, different from the simple-minded people. He seems to think a little bit more. He probably knows a little bit more. He knows a few more ahadith than they normally know, or something like that. So they immediately label people with Wahhabi, and by that they try to put themselves in a shell that will close their ears and their eyes. They do not want to listen to him, and they want to prevent other people from listening to him. And again, as I said, this is contrary to the description of his knowledge, but we believe that none of them is perfect in knowledge. None of them is infallible. None of them is without mistakes. So our full adherence and imitation is for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who alone Allah azza wa jalla made the uswa, or the example for humanity. As he said, what did he say? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Messenger of indeed in the Messenger of Allah a good example. طيب, for the matter of the bid'ah, I wanted to say some examples, as I said, of what the Salaf, the Sahaba, and the their followers said concerning the bid'ah. In regards to the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ. On that day, on the day of judgment, the faces of the people of the sunnah will be white, and the faces of the people of bid'ah will be black. This is a hadith from Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ says, سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي دَجَّالُونَ كَذَّابُونَ يَأْتُونَكُمْ بِبِدْعٍ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ لَمْ تَسْمَعُوا أَنْتُمْ وَلَا آبَاؤُكُمْ فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ لَا يَفْتِنُوكُمْ. Which means there will be in my ummah liars. Dajjalun means great liars. They will come to you, they'll come forth to you with bid'ah, with invented talks that you never heard, neither you nor your parents. So beware of them, that they do not tempt you or turn you away from the right way. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in his khutbah, he said, وَإِنَّمَا أَنَا مُتَّبِعٌ وَلَسْتُ بِمُبْتَدِعٍ فَإِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتُ فَتَابِعُونِي وَإِنْ زُغْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, I am only a follower. I am not a mubtadi', a person who is starting a new way, a bid'ah in the deen. So if I am right, then follow me. And if I deviate, then straighten me. وَإِنْ زِغْتُ فَقَوِّمُونِي. And this is Abu Bakr, who is the best for sure of this ummah after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one of about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوُزِنَ إِيمَانُ الْأُمَّةِ بِإِيمَانِ أَبِي بَكْرِ لَرَجَحَ إِيمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرِ. If all of the ummah's iman, faith and belief was weighed against the iman of Abu Bakr, the iman of Abu Bakr will be heavier. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَإِنْ رَآهَا النَّاسُ حَسَنًا. Every bid'ah is a misguidance, even if people think that it is good. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالِاقْتِصَادِ فِي أَمْرِهِ وَاتِّبَاعِ سُنَّةِ أوصيكم بتقوى الله والاقتصاد في أمره واتباع سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وترك ما أحدث المحدثون بعده. Which means I give you the advice to have taqwa of Allah and to be careful in following his command and to follow the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to drop anything which was invented by the muhdithun, those who invented things after him of the bid'ah, that is. Al-Awza'i reported that Hassan bin Atiyyah al-Tabi'i, one of the Tabi'een, said, both of them are Tabi'een of course, he said, مَا أَحْدَثَ قَوْمٌ بِدْعَةً فِي دِينِهِمْ إِلَّا نَزَعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ سُنَّتِهِمْ مِثْلَهَا لَا يُعِيدُهَا إِلَيْهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Which means whenever some people start a bid'ah in their deen, then Allah will take away from their from them a sunnah equal to it or in its place, and then he will not never give it back to them until the day of judgment. Of course, as long as they are insisting on that bid'ah, then they lose a sunnah. Every time people commit a bid'ah, they lose a sunnah. And an example that I like to give is of the deen. You know, you can think of the deen as a full cup, a cup which is full of something good, like for example milk. Okay, and then the people who do bid'ah, it means that they are trying to throw something, some impurities into this milk, something bad into this cup. Now this cup is full to the top. Allah has completed the deen, right? The deen is complete, it's perfect to the brim, to the top. So if you put anything into this cup, what will happen? It will spill out. So every time you put something into it, some of the good things of the milk will fall out. Some of the good the sunnah, that is, some of the teachings of the deen will fall out because they will have to leave space. This space, their place is taken by the bid'ah which has been put, the impurities which has been put in the cup. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, عليك بالأثر وطريقة السلف وإياك وكل محدثة فإنها بدعة. He said, take, follow the أثر, which means the hadith, وطريق السلف, and the way of the salaf, of the previous Muslim, that is the Sahaba of course and the Tabi'een, and be careful, beware of every newly invented matter because it is a bid'ah. Al-Layth ibn Sa'd said, لو رأيت صاحب بدعة يمشي على الماء ما قبلته. Which means, if I see a person who commits bid'ah walking on the surface of the water, I will not accept him. That is, I will not accept a hadith from him, I will not take the knowledge from him, so he will be worthless to me. And Layth ibn Sa'd was one of the great ulama of hadith and of fiqh of his time. So he says, I would not accept from any person who commits bid'ah the knowledge from him. So فبلغ ذلك الشافعي, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah heard about this and he said, ما قصر في ذلك. He was not exaggerating in what he said. ولو رأيته يمشي على الهواء ما قبلته. He said, even if I see him walking in the air, I will not accept from him. So this is how careful the Salaf were in their treatment of the people who commit bid'ah. Ahmad, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, أصول السنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم وترك البدع. He said, the fundamentals of sunnah for us is to adhere to what the sahaba of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do, and to follow them and to drop the bid'ah, the innovations. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said, اقتصاد في سنة خير من اجتهاد في بدعة. Which means, to do a little bit of sunnah is better than to do a lot of bid'ah. You know, because some people follow the sunnah, they do not do lots of deeds, but they make sure, they try to make sure that their deeds are in accordance with the sunnah. So if they do that, and they do their deeds according to the sunnah, even if their deeds are few, then these are better than the deeds of others who do lots of deeds, but their deeds are not in accordance with the sunnah. Because what is the use? I mean, if a person works a lot, strives a lot, but on the wrong way, it will not be accepted from him, it will be rejected from him. There is a group of people that this hadith reminds about. Who remembers who these people are? Khawarij. What is the hadith? What is the hadith? No, no, about Khawarij. Yeah, this is the part of the hadith that I wanted. The hadith says about them, the Prophet ﷺ talked about them, and in fact, in one case, he said that they were the descendants of a person who was in his time. There was a man in his time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam divided the ghanaim, the spoils of the war, he divided it in a way that, of course, as Allah teaches him, in a way which is just and also for the benefit of Muslims and Islam. So after he finished dividing the spoils, a man stood up and he said, هَذِهِ قِسْمَةٌ مَا أُرِيدَ بِهَا وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. This division was not by this division the face of Allah was not sought, which means it was, you made your division, he's addressing the Prophet ﷺ, you divided this based on desires instead of seeking Allah's pleasure and acceptance. So the Prophet ﷺ became very angry, and the Sahaba took their swords, they wanted to kill that man. And the Prophet ﷺ ordered them and told them to leave him alone. But he said, وَيْحَكَ مَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِذَا إِنْ لَمْ أَعْدِلْ. Woe be to you. Who would be just if I am not just? So this indeed showed the weak iman of that person who said this thing. But also the Prophet ﷺ said, leave him alone, and he said, there will come out from the progeny of this person people who you will find that your prayer is very little compared to their prayer, and your fasting and your prayer at night is very little compared to their prayer at night. So they will be doing much more, exerting much more in ibadah, but their ibadah will not be according to the sunnah. يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَوِزُ تَرَاقِيهِمْ, which means they read the Quran but it doesn't go beyond their throats, which means, you know, it doesn't get into their hearts. So they are just, you know, showing off in what they are doing. And we know the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in which he said, the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, in which he described some of these people. He said that, or not the hadith, the author, he said that he went to the masjid in Kufa and he found people, you know, yeah, doing things strange that he had not seen before. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was the ruler of Kufa. He was, you know, younger than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but yet he was put in charge of that area by the Khilafah, by the Khalifa. And at that time, I think it was on the time of Omar and probably also on the time of Uthman, that he was put in charge of the town of Kufa and the surrounding areas, like the emir of that area. So anyways, he still respected Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as being more knowledgeable and a person of knowledge, and therefore he went and stood by his door with the students who were waiting for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to come and to come out from his house to go and study with him, you know. So he did not knock on the door and say, "Come out, I have something very important to say to you." Rather, he waited by his door with the students. When he came out, he stood and walked with him, and he said, Abu Abdurrahman, I think that was his kunya, "I have seen in the masjid today something which is ankartu, which I disliked. But I haven't seen except something which is inshallah good." Which reminds you of what? Bid'ah idafiyah, right? Bid'ah idafiyah. I've seen some people doing something good, but he did not dislike it. He found that it is something doubtful, unacceptable. He said, "What did you see?" He said, "If you live, you will see it, inshallah." Which means, if you live to get to the masjid, you will see what I have seen. So they went together to the masjid, and some of the reports of this athar or story say that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud covered his face with his head cover so that people were not able to see him. They just saw his eye, only his eyes were visible. And then when he entered the masjid, he found people sitting in circles, and in the middle of every circle, a man distributing to them stones and saying, "Say Subhanallah so many times, say Alhamdulillah so many times, say Allah Akbar so many times." So this in itself is tasbih, tahmid, takbir, tahleel. These are all good ibadat. This is dhikr, which is good. But the way they were doing it was not done at all by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by his sahaba. Never did the Prophet ﷺ sit with the Sahaba and give them stones and say, "Okay, now say Subhanallah, now say Alhamdulillah, now say Allahu Akbar." So they changed the way that the ibadah is being practiced, even though in itself this was a correct ibadah in its basis. So when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud saw this, he became very angry. He exposed himself. And he said, "I am Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And you are either more knowledgeable than the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, or you are inventing or starting a bid'ah unjustly." He said, "Imma annakum qad fuqtum ashab Muhammadin ilma, aw annakum qad ji'tum bi bid'atin dhulma." So they said, "Wallahi, ya Aba Abdurrahman, ma aradna illa al-khayr. By Allah, we only sought good. Our intention is good." He said, kam min muridin al-khayr la yudriku. How many people who have good intentions but will never get the right, will not get what they are seeking? Why? Because if I have the full good intention to go to, say, Dallas, okay, I have full good intention to go there, and then I start from here and I take I-20 west ignorantly, whatever it is the cause, stubbornly, whatever it is, I say I want to go on I-20 west and I'm going to hit Dallas inshallah. Will I get there? Will I reach there? I have the full intention, the good intention to get to Dallas. But if I take the wrong way, will I get there? No. So the good intention alone is not enough. We need with the good intention the good direction, the good way. So he said, "Kam min muridin al-khayr la yudriku. Addu sayyi'atikum wa ana al-kafiru lakum ayyan alla yadhi'a min hasanatikum shay'an." He said, "You better count your sins, and I assure you that none of your good deeds is going to be lost." If they are trying to count their good deeds and their hasanat by counting with the stones, he says, "I assure you, nothing of them will be lost." He said, and of what he said, you know, he said he gave them a long lecture, but some of what he said is this and he said, وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ مَا أَسْرَعَ هَلَكَتِكُمْ, which means, woe be to you, O Ummah of Muhammad, how fast you fall into destruction. هَذِهِ آنِيَةُ مُحَمَّدٍ لَمْ تُكْسَرْ بَعْدْ, which means here are the dishes of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they haven't been broken yet, which means he died not too long ago. وَهَذِهِ ثِيَابُهُ لَمْ تَبْلَ, and here are his clothes, they are not rotten yet. وَهَذِهِ أَصْحَابُهُ وَهَؤُلَاءِ أَصْحَابُهُ مُتَوَفِّرُونَ بَيْنَكُمْ, and here are the companions of Muhammad, they are in plenty still among you, and there are two of them at least in that position with in that time when they were, when he was talking to them. So if you want to know what to do, ask the Sahaba, check what the Sunnah is, inquire about the Sunnah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, instead of starting new ways in the deen. So these people themselves who were doing exaggerating in the ibadah in a way which is not according to the Sunnah, these are the same people who I think Abu Musa himself I think said, he said, فَرَأَيْنَا نُضَارِبُهُمْ يَوْمَ النَّهْرَوَانِ, he said, we found ourselves fighting with these same people on the day of Nahrawan, when the Khawarij stood against the Muslims. So they were indeed among the Khawarij, and of course this hadith, this thing, this description applies to them that we were saying. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, مَزْدَادَ صَاحِبُ بِدْعَةٍ اجْتِهَادًا إِلَّا ازْدَادَ مِنَ اللَّهِ بَعْدًا, he said, when the person who is committing bid'ah strives or exerts more in this bid'ah, he gets further and further away from Allah, not closer to him. And again, you know, look at the example of that I gave about going to Dallas. If a person is starting in the wrong way, the more that he goes and the more he presses on the gas thinking that he will get faster to Dallas, the further away he'll get from his goal. So that means that, as we said last time, one needs two things for the deed to be acceptable and to be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal, for him to reach his goal. That the way should be correct, and the niyyah should be correct. Not the niyyah alone and not the way alone, both of them should be there. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, okay, I just mentioned this and stop because we're getting close to the end of the tape. This is a long we still have 5 minutes, we'll leave them for the questions, but first I'll end with this saying from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's a long saying, but part of it he says that Allah first looked at the people of and found that the heart of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best of them and so on. Then he says, ثم نظر في قلوب العباد بعد قلب محمد فوجد قلوب أصحابه خير قلوب العباد فجعلهم وزراء نبيه يقاتلون على دينه. Then Allah looked at the hearts of people after the heart of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he found that the hearts of his ashab are the best of the hearts of all people. So he made them like the wuzara, like the ministers or the close companions of his messenger. يُقَاتِلُونَ عَلَى دِينِهِ, they fight according to his deen or for his deen. فَمَا رَأَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا, which means, so whatever Muslims see to be good, then it is good before Allah. Now some people use this to support their claims of good bid'ah that we said we refuted last time. They say, مَا رَأَهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا, which means, whatever Muslims, and they say that this is a hadith, it's not a hadith, it's a saying of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. It's authentically reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So they say, مَا رَأَهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا, which means, whatever Muslims decide that it is good, it is acceptable by Allah. So Muslims can get here, we can, for example, get here and vote on something. Let's vote on, for example, change the direction of Qibla. Let's pray this way from tomorrow on. Okay, let's see how many agree, how many disagree. We'll have more room to hold more people that way and so on. Okay, we have a majority, alhamdulillah. Muslims see that this is good, therefore it is good, acceptable to Allah. That's what people think, and they think that this way, this proves that there is bid'ah, which is good bid'ah hasan. This is not true, but and as you see, this was refuted, you know, we refuted it very well, I think, last time. And in addition to that, if you look at what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, he's saying that Allah chose the Sahaba to be the best people after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the best suited for the company of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, so whatever they see good is good. So he's talking about to other people who came after the Sahaba, like these people in that situation, whom he was telling them that they have to follow the Sahaba. So he's saying whatever the Muslims, that the Sahaba who were in the company of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see as being good, then it is good, which is nothing but what people later on talk about as ijma. It is the ijma of the Sahaba. If there is ijma of the Sahaba, then this is part of the shara. If the Sahaba agree on something, then definitely this is something, then it doesn't matter what people after them say, because this is inshallah part of the sunnah as mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jalla in his book, and as mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hadith. So I stop here inshallah. أقول هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We have 1 minute for questions inshallah.
Two final details about the bid'ah nowadays, especially this night. Some people, they have a tradition of bringing food to the masjid for Muslims to enjoy. If you see the Halawiyat, should you eat them or not? And second, the use of the Masbaha. I asked one person, since the Sahaba didn't do it, why does he do it? He said, I know the Sahaba didn't do it, but it helps me remember to make the dhikr when I hold it in my hand.
No.
So, what do
you say to you? Well, for the first question, which is about food, eat it. Check the tape, make sure it doesn't start in the other direction. I'm not sure. I mean, the food itself is a halal food. Supposedly, I mean.
Because sometimes these people, they sacrifice in the name of their saints, or they give with the intention that the ajr will go to the Prophet ﷺ and to other saints. And usually the people who build food over here, this is their intentions are mixed up, and it's very hard sometimes when you would ask them, they themselves don't know why they are doing it. I mean, or maybe they don't, but it's very difficult.
They don't know.
But they definitely have some corrupted intentions, that's for sure.
Somewhat?
They have some corrupted or some polluted intentions, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they bring the food because they think that this is a blessed night, but the food is good, if you know where they get it from, if you know these people, but these are people of bid'ah, that they are doing this bid'ah, then I don't see anything wrong with eating that food. Huh?
Sadaqah
or gift or something.
The way they're bringing, maybe because of the middle of the night, they're doing good deeds by feeding.
Yeah, that's probably what they think. Sallallahu alam. If we have a strong doubt that maybe this food is bad, or it has been slaughtered or offered for other than Allah, then we should avoid it. Otherwise, I don't see a reason to say it's wrong. Allahu alam. As for the other question regarding the subha or the beads, well, you probably haven't seen people who use the counters. The mechanical counters. Yeah, I've seen them. I mean, I was standing by the Masjid al-Haram, last year. And one of these stores, you know, they sell everything there. And he was selling the mechanical counters in addition to the masbaha. There were two women who were talking to each other, and one of them was telling the other that, I asked my sheikh or my sheikha or whatever in Syria, their accent was Syrian, and she told me that this is very good, this is even better than the masbaha or something like that. So people, you know, make tashriya for themselves or and for others without fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the sunnah. That's what was reported about the Prophet, from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he only used his hands for his right hand for counting. So that's the only thing that we can go by. And besides, counting in huge numbers, over 100, is not enumerated in the sunnah, which means when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did counts more than 100, then he did not count, or he did not encourage people to count. So he said, for example, there is a hadith which says, whoever says such and such dhikr in a day or in day and night 100 times, then he gets such and such reward. And nobody gets better reward except the one who says like him or more. But he didn't say 110 or 200 or 5,000. And it is reported that he used to, in one sitting, say, Astaghfirullah 70 times, and some of the reports say that he used to say Astaghfirullah. No, he said, I say Astaghfirullah every day more than 100 times. And the Sahaba, in one sitting, they used to count for him more than 70 times. Maybe I switched the numbers around, but it is that he used to say Astaghfirullah lots of times in the day, but it was not reported that he used to carry beads and make and say, now I have finished 70, now I finished 140 or something. Yeah, 33 times, and then you end it by saying La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika. Yeah, so this you can count on your fingers. Even my son here can knows how to do it. It's not hard. You can, do you know how to say this? Subhanallah. After Fajr, there is nothing reported concerning that.
Or that's considered to be a heart of the Quran.
Well, you need to make sure most of the ahadith reported concerning Surah Yasin are not authentic. Most of them, if not all of them.